A little echoey up here. You're going to be able to get that taken care of. So good to have everyone here today. This is spring break week. We've got some slackers out there vacationing. I'm going to be doing that a little bit this week. So it's been kind of neat. I've got my brother and his family in town. My brother Skip and his wife Tammy. He's a pastor in Florida, the great state of Florida. But he's a pastor of Grace and Truth Baptist Church in Plant City, Florida. And I'll tell you, we just do that. We do that on purpose to keep you awake. But let me tell you just a little bit about him. They started a church in a small coffee shop in this little town called Plant City. And God has just been doing so many great things in them and through them, and they are such an inspiration to me to watch what God is doing. They just purchased a piece of property probably just, how many years ago was that? About 4 or 5 years ago, and again, the Lord's hand is on them, so we're so excited to have them here today and to have their kids here with us. We've taken them to Cowtown. They've worn boots all over Texas. We're just trying to kind of get them kind of geared up. We're trying to get them to move here is what we're trying to do. So, I want to also mention to you this. Not too long ago, I met together with the lead team. The lead team at Bear Creek is the group of leaders that help to kind of navigate the ship and make some decisions. And we ended 2017 so well. The Lord has really blessed us, and we had sort of a surplus, and we decided to purchase some things and do some things that helped us to reach our community in different ways. And so you'll notice we have a camera in the back now, and we're going to be doing some things with social media here coming up. We also put a sign out by the road, so God's doing great things. We also, let me tell you this, we made an extra payment on our mortgage payment here at the church. And this is just ways that we are trying to honor God and step in the direction that he would have us to step. And so continue to pray as we do that. Amen? Right. Well, if there's anything that we've learned over the past several weeks, it's that truth matters. You saw the video here, right? Truth matters. And these past several weeks, we have been diving into this message series, Why Truth Matters. And in fact, if your life seems out of order and a little out of whack, it might be because somewhere along the way you believed a lie. And maybe today God wants to speak truth into your life. Maybe today God wants to expose that lie and lead you to the truth. And we're hoping to see that take place. As we open up his word today, we're going to be in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. You know, we believe all sorts of lies. We believe sometimes lies about God, lies about marriage, lies that materialism is the way we should go, lies about happiness. Lies about relationships, lies about sex, lies about just ourselves, don't we? We believe these lies sometimes. And whenever we compromise the truth, we inevitably embrace the lie. And we've learned that in these past few weeks. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the lie, and if it's the lie that binds us, it's the truth that sets us free. If it's the lie that keeps us down and that restricts us and binds us, we learned in John chapter 8, it's the truth that sets us free. And so God's truth, it's like a standard measuring tool. And I brought some things up here with me today to just kind of give you just an idea. Think about these devices that we use every day as standard measuring tools. Think about the measuring cup. I'm not very good at cooking, so I really have to pay attention real clearly to the measure. I remember one time, something required like a tablespoon of salt or a sugar. No, it was a teaspoon of salt, and I put a tablespoon of salt in it. It was like cookies or something like that. And so we come across these things every day, these measuring tools. This right here, anybody know what this is? No? This one right here. It's a guitar tuner, right? And so it measures whether your guitar is in tune or out of tune. And so Mike up here was leading worship, and praise the Lord for his worship today. I'm so grateful for that. But so if he didn't have one of these, he wouldn't have a standard in which to kind of meet and tune his guitar in with the rest of instruments. And so that's a measuring tool, a standard. And then this is a what? Who said measuring tape? Right here. Measuring tape. We measure the length of things, and we use that as a standard tool of measure. Well, that's what God's truth is like. His truth is a standard that he has set. And what happens when we reject these standards? I want you to think about what happens when we reject the measuring cup and we're making a pie or we're making a cake or something. What happens when we reject the measuring, what happens when we reject the guitar tuner? And we say, you know what, I'm just going to figure this thing out. I'm just going to do it myself. I'll tune it the way I want to. It's my life. I can do with it whatever I want to do. And I can just tune this guitar whatever way I want. Would you be able to be in harmony with the rest of the instruments? What would it be like if we decided that we're going to build a house and we're just not going to use a measuring tape, or we're not going to use a plumb line to set the walls straight? I want you to think about that. And let me ask you something. What will our lives be like if we don't have a standard? What will your life be like if you don't have a standard to live by? In John chapter 18, one of the most profound questions in the Bible is presented by an unbeliever, actually. And this is where Pilate, the man who handed Jesus over to be crucified, he asks this question: what is truth? What is truth? And he's asking this question based on a statement that Jesus is making. Jesus makes this statement. He says, "For this purpose I have come into the world, to testify to the truth." That is such a profound statement, because here he is, he's about to be crucified. Pilate's asking him if he's the king of the Jews, and he just puts the brakes on. He says, listen, this is my purpose. This is why I'm here. My purpose is to bear witness, or to testify to the truth. My purpose is to testify to the truth. Then Pilate makes this statement with cynicism. And he says, what is truth? And here we are 2,000 years later. And it's like our world is still voicing the same attitude of Pilate. What is truth? And they're voicing it with cynicism. And some think that truth is a power play, where leadership use truth to sort of control the masses. And listen, sometimes that's true, right? I mean, you saw how Hitler kind of said, look, I am the standard of truth in the nation of Germany, and I will speak truth, and you will listen to me. And everybody was wooed by Hitler, and they just followed right along, okay? Or Jesus, when he was dealing with the Pharisees, they continued to say that they were the standard of truth, and they weren't, and they were leading all these people astray. And so, yes, I mean, truth can be used as sort of like a power play. But then there's some also that say that truth is real subjective, and that it's based on personal preference. And I hope you don't believe that. Then there are those who say that truth is based on consensus, and if a lot of people agree that this is the truth, then it's the truth, right? So if someone says, look, there's 66 genders, right? And if there's enough people saying there's 66 genders, look, there's no longer two genders. Now there's 66 genders. That's when it's based on consensus. And so what we do is we're turning to majority rule, and we're trying to see what majority says, and the majority of the people speak, and they're the ones that tell us what truth is. Is that true? Is that true? And you think about things like Nazi Germany, and you think about different ideas and philosophies that people have bought into. But then there's those also who've just flat out denied the truth. And here's the beauty of God. To him, truth is truth regardless if you believe it or not. Just like the lady said on the video. Truth is truth regardless if you believe it or not. So here's the definition of truth. In the Oxford Dictionary, it defines truth as that which is true according to fact or reality. Truth is reality. It's the way things really are. And as Christians, we believe what the Bible says, that God created all things, that he created reality, and he is the source of all truth. Amen? He is the source of all truth. We are not here by accident. We are not wandering aimlessly. God is a God of order. He is not a God of chaos. God is a standard bearer, and in him we find truth. He creates the standard. He draws the line, whether you want to believe that or not, because he is the creator. He is the truth bearer. John MacArthur, he says this, and this is more of a theological definition of truth, but he says this: truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. That's what truth is. It's consistent with who he is. And so now we're getting to the scripture passage that we're going to read today, chapter 17 of John. And here's what's happening during this particular time. The hour was drawing near. Jesus knows soon he'll be arrested. He will be betrayed by friends and abandoned by them. He will be beaten. He'll be tortured almost nearly to death. And then he'll be sent to the cross where he would die. And so he's preparing. And he would be sent to that cross all based on a lie that people believed. The majority believed. And so the majority of the people railed against him, and they wanted him crucified. And because majority at this time ruled, and they were making a judgment, they heard the voices of the majority, and they crucified him based on a lie. And ultimately, in the end, the majority of these people, they were the ones that were considered right. So we see here in this chapter, he has a real heart for his followers. And we see this. And he's going away, and he's concerned about them. He's praying to God the Father. And he says in chapter 17, verse 1, you can look at this, but he says, Father, the hour has come. So he knows that his time is drawing to an end when he will no longer be among his disciples. And he says in verse 4, I have glorified your name on earth and accomplish the work you gave me, he says. And then in verse 14 is where we land today, and you're going to see this up on the screen. He says, I have given them your word. He's speaking about the disciples. I've given these disciples of mine, these followers of Christ, your word, he says to God the Father. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we look at your word today, Lord, you'll teach us and show us the significance of truth. You'll teach us and show us, Lord, what it is to walk in truth. In Christ's name, amen. So look what he says here in verse 15. He says, God, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because of your word. or has hated them because they are not of the world. His disciples were not of the world. Listen, when you are a follower of Christ, you are not of the world. This is not your home. This is your mission field. This is your ministry. This is the place that he has you for a very temporary time on a temporary assignment. One day you will not be here. I like to tell people this. One day, everything that you own, somebody else will own. Let that sink in. All those things that are near to and dear to you, they will possess. And so, one day, you will be gone. You will no longer be here. But that will be a joyous day for every believer in this room. So look what he says at the end of verse 15. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Who is the evil one? Who's the evil one? Satan, right? In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is called the god of this world or the god of this age, your translation might say. And that means he is the major influence over the opinions of people. He is the major influence over the goals and the hopes and the views of the world. In John 12:31, he's called the ruler of this world. And why? Because his job is to deceive and to get you off of God's plan and onto his plan and to get you onto his agenda. In John 10:10, it says he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not good news, is it? In John chapter 8, verse 44, he is called the liar. It says that he is a liar and the father of lies. We just talked about that a couple weeks ago. So here's the question. Could it be possible that you are more on Satan's plan than on God's plan? Could it be possible? And could it be possible that your life has been misguided and has been deceived and you have bought into a lie? I know I have for a long time. I had bought into a lie for a long time. So Jesus' prayer here in John 17:15 is, I'm not asking you to remove them from the world. So in other words, I'm not asking you to take them out early and take them to heaven. What I'm asking you to do is protect them from the evil one while they're here. And so what we find is we need God's protection while we're here. We need his protection. That was Jesus' prayer for them. The Apostle Paul says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. If you are a follower of Christ, I can assure you that he will protect you from the evil one. If you abide in him, if you are walking with him, if you are living for his glory, John chapter 17, and look at verse 16 and 17 here, and we'll just keep this up on the screen. It says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. This is not their home, but I don't want you to take them out of this place. I want you to leave them here, and I want you to protect them. And then he says this, look at verse 17. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So we need God's protection from the deceiver, and we need God's word. We need his truth. Jesus is, he's going away, and he says, Father, I've stuck to the plan. Look at verse 4, chapter 17, verse 4. I have glorified your name on earth. He says, and accomplished the work that you gave me. See, God the Father had given Jesus a work to do. And he says in verse 14, he says, I've given them, the disciples, I've given them your word. See, Jesus knows the word is the surest way to protect them, to embed the word of God in their hearts. And it will give them a standard, something to measure their lives by, something to compare things to. And maybe that's what you've needed. Something to measure your life by, something to compare your life to. And you see, Jesus is the word of God on display. And it was cool, we talked about this. The Old Testament we had the spoken word of God, right? God spoke to the prophets. He spoke to the patriarchs. So we had the spoken word of God. Then we had the written word of God. Remember, Moses brought it down from the mountain, the written word of God. And now here in the New Testament, we have what's called the incarnate word of God. And in chapter 1 of John, it says that this word, the word of God, all of who God is, the revelation of God, the truth of God, all of who God is, the word became flesh and dwelled among us. The word of God took on flesh, the appearance of a man, it says in Philippians chapter 2, and he dwelt among us. That was Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. John Piper says, the word is truth in writing. Jesus is truth in person. And so when we talk about the truth, when we talk about God's holy standard, we peer at the person of Jesus Christ. We look at him. He is the standard bearer. He is the measuring cup and he is the yardstick and the tape measure. He is the standard for our lives. And we look at him and we measure and we weigh things against him. And as we do that, we begin to dispel and separate truth from lie. That's what happens. So as Jesus is preparing for the cross, preparing to leave his followers, he's telling them these things. That way, if things start to unravel, they'll know if they're veering off of his word, if they're veering off of the things that he had left with them, his word. And when their faith starts to wane, they'll know, and they'll know that they're getting off of the word, and they'll reset and be able to reset back to the standard. And as followers, they are of the world, the word, not of the world. And so they're a people of the word. They live out the word. They serve the living word, the incarnate word of God. They follow his way. And when you live in the word of God, the world will reject you. Did you know that? When you live in the word of God, the world will begin to turn on you. And so did you notice in this passage? It says, I've given them your word, talking about his disciples, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. The world has turned on them. Why? Because they're of the word. And you see, when we walk and we are followers of Christ, it is like light and darkness. And those, and listen, I know what it was like. I know what it was like to live separated from God, to live apart from him. And I know what it's like to sort of look at other Christian or look at Christians and say, you know, I remember actually my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, we used to call her church girl. Remember that, Tammy? Tammy, remember that? So we used to call her church girl. Just, you know, we just made fun of her. This was before we became Christians. She knew us before we came to know Christ. We've known her since she was about 15 years old. And we used to say, she goes to church, she's a church girl. We'd make fun of that. And I'll tell you, when I lived in darkness, anything that shined brightly was an offense to me. Was an offense to me. And if this word is an offense to you, listen to me on this. If God's word is an offense to you, maybe it's because you don't have a relationship with him. And I don't mean that in a way to tear you down. I mean that in a way to point you to a place of hope, in a place of truth where God can set a standard for you and give you the freedom that you've always longed for but you just can't seem to find in this world. So Jesus says in verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. You see, he's going away and he wants God to protect them from the evil one. And he wants them to be sanctified in the truth. And look what it says at the end of that verse. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. And so the word sanctified means to be set apart. And it means to establish them for God's purpose, right? So he's saying, set them apart and establish them in the truth. I'm going away. Father, protect them from the evil one. Establish them in your word. Establish them in your truth. And maybe this is just what you need right now, is to be established in the truth, because the truth will guard you, and it will give you a standard in this world of confusion, with this world full of shifting views. This world that says, you know what, morality, it's changing, and morality changes today, and tomorrow morality changes. But look, holiness, the holiness of God, it is immutable, it never changes, and it never shifts. It always stays the same. And you could have the popular opinion of the world could say that, you know, there's 66 genders, okay? And they could say all these different things, these unusual things, and other people are just really buying it. That's true. I think that's true. The guy has 3 PhDs. He should know. Listen, he's deceived. Why? Because the evil one has come to deceive, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he will even deceive somebody with a PhD. That's why we've got to remain true to God and true to his word. We've got to see him for who he says he is. And his truth will guard you. It will set a standard. It will strengthen you. It will give you confidence. And it will set you free. Amen? And so, so the power of the devil is not that he can control you. The power is that he can deceive you, and that he can lie to you, and that you will believe that lie. And without the protection of God's word, and without the protection of his truth, you will be so easily deceived. Don't think that you can rise above the deception. You can't. You'll live in darkness. And people who live in darkness cannot see the truth. They will not be able to see the truth. And so I'm going to show you this up on the screen. As followers of Christ, here's what I want us to know today. We seek God's protection, and we trust God's word. As followers of Christ, we seek his protection, and we trust his word. The world is the land of confusion. I mean, just turn on the news, right? And you'll see throughout the book of John, and we're closing this book of John out today, but throughout the book of John, we see all of this confusion. Every person that Jesus encountered, it seemed like they were confused, just confused constantly. See, Jesus comes to this earth, and it says that he is full of grace and truth. Full, 100% grace, 100% truth. He comes to this world full of grace and truth. He begins to walk this world, and then he starts meeting with people, and we see that he meets this woman at the well, and she says, well, you know, some people say that, you know, your God is the, you worship on that mountain, we worship on this mountain, and Jesus cuts it clear to her, and he says, the time is coming, and in fact, it's come now, that the true worshipers will worship worship God in spirit and in truth. Who you are on the inside will align with the truth, and you will worship him. That's going to be the true worshipers, not the false worshipers, but the true worshipers. And then he carried on, and he went on, and he met the Jews. And you remember this a few weeks ago? And they didn't know. They said, you know, we are not in bondage. We are Abraham's children. We are not in bondage, but yet they were so deceived by the lie. Jesus told them, your father is the father of lies, the devil. That's what he tells the Jews. They thought that they were free. And he says, but listen to this. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then he goes on, and his disciples are going, in chapter 14, they're saying, Jesus says, I'm going away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and you know the way. And they said, no, we don't know the way. And Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And nobody, and listen to this, nobody on planet Earth will come to the Father God except by me, Jesus says. So in other words, if you want to get to God, if one day you want to stand before God in heaven and live with him in all eternity, Jesus says, I am the way to him, and I am the truth that will get you there. I'm the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. And so he cut it straight with them. And you see this throughout the book of John. This is why I wanted to do this series. As I was reading through the book of John, I was saying, wow, Lord, this is so amazing what you talk about, the truth. And then here he is. He stands before Pilate. And Pilate says, you are the king of the Jews, are you not? And he says, you are right in saying that I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. I come from a different kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. And my purpose for being here is to bear witness to the truth. That is my purpose. His purpose is to set the standard, to be the standard, the holy standard for all men. Then he says this. He says, Lord, sanctify them, set them apart for my purpose. Establish them in your truth. Your word is truth. Don't forget that. Don't forget God's word is his truth. There was a period of time in my life when I was so self-centered and I wanted to be boss of my life. And maybe that's you today. You want to be boss of your life. You want to be in control. This is my life, and I can do with it whatever I want to do with it. No one's going to tell me what to do. I'll tell you, that's deception, y'all. That is deception. And that is a person being deceived by the world. And you'll not have the standard to regulate things by. You'll never know freedom. And so what God's calling you to do, he's calling you, see, next week, we're going to have three baptisms here. God has reached the hearts of people who needed Christ. They had responded to him, and next week they're coming to just publicly make known that they have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, and maybe you need that today. So when I was far from God and I was looking for truth, but I didn't want God, is that even possible? Jesus says, I am the truth. He is the living word, the living truth. So I was searching for truth, and I didn't want God, though, and I couldn't find it. And I remember back in the early 90s, I came across this song. It's called I Have Seen the Light. Mike, you remember that song, Mike? You might remember when I repeat some of these words. It says, I was a seeker for light in a dark world. I looked for truth, but settled for lies. I had been blinded, I could not see. To the star in Bethlehem's sky opened my eyes. Now I have seen the light shining in the darkness, bursting through the shadows, delivering the dawn. I have seen the light whose holy name is Jesus. His kingdom is forever. He reigns on heaven's throne. And maybe you need that today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we can trust you in all things. And Father, I pray for that person in this room, or those folks in this room that have been living far from you, and they came here, and maybe you've led them here for such a time as this, that they can encounter the truth of who you are and glorify the Father in heaven. Lord, I pray for them that you'll capture their hearts today with the truth of your word, and they'll begin to trust you as Lord and Savior of their life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.